We are here with the head Maryland Department of Transportation State Highway Administration archaeologist, Dr. Julie Shablitsky, and we are talking about applying 21st century DNA technology to age-old mysteries. A smoking pipe was located at the Belvoir property off of Generals Highway in Anne Arundel County. The rest is history. Since it's been a few years, just as a reminder, when did you first visit the Belvoir property in Anne Arundel County?
We first visited the Belvoir property in Anne Arundel County back in 2014. We're looking at the site as part of a larger study along Generals Highway. So part of what we do is we try and look at transportation landscapes and try and understand how the archaeological and historical sites contributed to the development of our transportation systems over time. And so that was the first time that we took a look at that property, and we were attracted to it because we did know that there was a standing manor house on it built in the 18th century, and we also knew that this was a place where Rochambeau encamped in 1781 with over 4,000 troops. So as part of the American Revolution history that we were kind of trying to go after, that was one site that we definitely wanted to take a stop at and try and find where he camped.
Excellent. As archaeologists can connect and record ancient DNA profiles as part of an investigation, and as more and more everyday citizens partake in having their own modern-day DNA analyzed, will more pieces of the puzzle fall into place connecting people to their ancestors?
The way that modern DNA tests work is that you, whether you're going through a commercial lab like Ancestry DNA or 23andMe, the step you get is you order your DNA collection kit, you get your plastic tube, you spit in the tube, and it's sent off to a lab, and then you get this print off of where your ancestry breaks down into. Keeping in mind that that's just a portion of your DNA and a portion of your genetic profile. And so that is similar to what we're doing in that we're trying to capture where someone is, I guess we're trying to capture who they may be most genetically similar to. So in this case, I didn't know what we're going to get with the DNA. I didn't even know if DNA was preserved on those pipe stems, but I knew it was possible. If anyone's watched any crime scene investigation stories, the first thing that they're going to grab is they grab people's cigarette butts or they grab a drinking glass. And so if DNA can survive on those objects, how long can it survive on an artifact? Is it 50 years? Is it 100 years? Is it 2,000 years? So because I didn't know where that threshold was, I wanted to see if it was possible with things like smoking tobacco pipe stems.
For your investigations as an archaeologist using the traditional tools of archaeology and this new 21st century technology that has really grown in the past, say, 5 years even 2 years, how is the particularly ADNA, you know, the ancient DNA profiles of really degraded samples, but you have that one little sliver there, how can that actually help an archaeologist track the movements of people?
The difference between regular DNA labs and ancient DNA labs are the types of protective protocol that they take. In an ancient DNA labs, you're working with very old, degraded samples, primarily human skeletal remains. So you want to make sure that when you go in to take those degraded pieces and begin to amplify them, you're not accidentally including more modern samples and modern DNA in your analyses. And in this case, because I was dealing with a really old pipe stem, it was important to find an ancient DNA lab at a university. And that's what I did in this case. And he was successfully, Dr. Rippon Molly was successfully able to recover human DNA. And that DNA was from a woman, which to me, that's something. It automatically, I think, kind of changes our vision of how people lived in the 19th century. When you think and you see a smoking tobacco pipe on the ground, as an archaeologist, sometimes people might think, oh, this is from a man or a bunch of dudes sitting outside smoking and talking, when in fact the context of it being found in a slave quarter is completely different. You have a quarter that is primarily being used to cook and prepare food for people who are enslaved. And in this case, I think that with that context, and now we know it was a woman, it was probably, and it could have been, the cook that was that may have used that tobacco pipe stem and then she dropped it. The other interesting point about this is that even though we were not able to recover enough DNA to match with living descendants, what we could do is begin to look at ancestry. And so a completely different lab in Copenhagen was able to go ahead and take a look at that DNA and was able to match it and look at it and using modern DNA databases and found that the person that smoked that particular tobacco pipe was most genetically similar to the Mende of Sierra Leone, West Africa. And that pretty much blew the whole archaeological case wide open, because never before have we been able to say with any sort of scientific certainty, one, that it was even a place where people, you know, were enslaved, but that there was someone there of African ancestry living there, working there, and she left a piece of herself behind for us to find.
Valuable treasure. Let's take the slave trade and all that off the table for a second and consider this new technology. Would archaeologists be revisiting past investigated sites and use this kind of technology to broaden past explorations of archaeological digs?
What this new application does is it opens up a new door for archaeologists to use to try and get after questions of ancestry. And the reason that's important for particularly people who study sites in the Chesapeake or in the East at all is that oftentimes when you come to a plantation, you'll find old tenant houses, archaeological ruins of tenant houses, and you don't know if the people who lived there were impoverished people of European descent, or were they, you know, French, were they German, were they of African descent. And to be able to begin to say with some certainty that someone of that ancestry lived there is going to be able to allow us to connect that space and that cultural material to broader questions of communities and ancestry and locations of people on the landscape.
On that same note, do you have any plans to revisit any local Maryland Department of Transportation State Highway Administration sites for further evaluation, such as Connemara?
I think this application is best used for new sites. So it's going to be, I think, kind of difficult to go to old archaeology sites, old collections, and pull out pipe stems that people have used in the past because they've been scrubbed, they've been cleaned, they've been sitting around. So it's really, we're really unsure what sort of success we even have with pipe stems like that. They could be contaminated. So I think the best thing and the safest way to go ahead and do this work in the future is to anticipate the discovery of pipe stems. They are ubiquitous. They're on all domestic archaeology sites, a lot of industrial sites. Wherever there is people, especially in the 18th and 19th century, they're smoking tobacco. And you can usually find evidence of this. And it's just something that we need to think about before we go to our next archaeology site, is how can I safely retrieve these sorts of artifacts and then use them to tell me more about the people who lived here.
What does this mean to the descendants, the living descendants?
We do have a descendant community who we've been working with from the beginning of the project, almost immediately using historical records, them knowing their own genealogy, and us discovering that slave quarter. We knew that that was a way to a place that we could all come and begin to start this community project. So we went through the archaeological excavation, we went through the analysis of artifacts, and now that we have this new piece of information, it's a way for them to connect in a different sort of way. They're going back through their own ancestry data and seeing, well, you know, could I possibly be, you know, did my ancestors come from Sierra Leone, West Africa? Where did my people come from? So it gives them a chance to, I think, look at their own DNA, look at their own stories, and also begin to wonder, you know, am I related to this woman who dropped this pipe stem 200 years ago? And if I'm not, I'm sure that my ancestor knew this woman.
Okay, last question. Is there any kind of criticism or any drawbacks to this technology from fellow archaeologists throughout the nation and the world?
This is really the first time archaeologists have been really presented an opportunity to not only find DNA and other artifacts for the fun of it. I mean, getting DNA from an object that's, you know, a couple hundred years old is exciting, but we have to make sure that it tells us something we didn't already know. Otherwise, what's the point, really? So in this sort of case, because we're not looking at whether a man or woman smoked it, which is, you know, those questions of artifacts that are associated with sex are always interesting, but we have to go ahead and use this to tell us something a little bit more important, a little bit more tantalizing, and that is ancestry. It's in the forefront of our minds. It's part of our, you know, problems in everyday America. So to be able to look at where people are coming from, where they have been, and being able to pick up an artifact like a tobacco pipe stem and be able to connect those with people's nativity is huge.
Thank you, Dr. Shablowski, for spending time with us here today.